Jackson, could you call the meeting order and call roll, please?
Chair Kelly?
Here.
Vice Chair Herman?
Here.
Board Member Ruppel?
Here.
Board Member Zirung?
Here.
And Board Member Baya?
Baya.
Baya.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Since this is a new year and we've got a new member on our board, so welcome board. I think we should all introduce ourselves just so that you know who we are, and then we'll listen to your introduction too. So I'll let you take it, Rachel.
Sure. Hi, I'm Rachel Ruppel. I live here in Sisters. I've been here about 10 years and joined the board last year. I'm just interested in bicycle and pedestrian improvements and making the city as best as we can.
Cool.
Yeah. And we work together at the City of Bend.
Yeah.
I recognize you from the Teams meetings, but not in person.
This is so, really funny.
Yeah. So welcome.
John, you want to do your introduction next?
Sure. Hi, I'm John Herman. I've been part of the board for 3 years now. I'm at the Lazy Bee Ranch and Lazy Bee Ranch Wines outside of town.
Great. Thanks, John. He's much more dynamic in person. Dane, how about you?
And when I'm not surrounded by a bunch of people that I don't know, people are in the park.
Such lovely weather. Dane, you want to do your introduction?
Yeah, Dane Zirung. This is the beginning of my second year on the board. I live on the outskirts of Sisters, out by Indian Ford Meadow. So I'm a out-of-city limits guy. And I'm excited to be here for another year and looking forward to seeing what I can do to contribute and help. And thanks.
Thanks, Dana. By the way, I think your term's 3 years or 2 years? So you're going to be here more?
No, I think it's three years.
Great. Welcome back. And I'm Bill Kelly. I'm the chair of the committee. I was here when they started. I think John and I were started on it the same day. I live in town. I have a background in water, wastewater, equipment sales, and managing projects like that. So that's why I'm here. And welcome aboard. And your introduction.
Okay. Well, my name is Lori Faya. So I guess, yeah, I'm another Sisters Country representative. So I live out even past that to what I can now luckily call Whitechoose Canyon Estates. We've lived here just a couple of years, but I'm really excited to serve on the board. My background is I have a degree in civil engineering. I currently work for the City of Bend. I'm what's called environmental resources manager there. So I deal a lot with planning for water rights, water conservation, stormwater management, things like that. Prior to that, I was the city engineer for the City of Tigard. I have a long history in the Portland area, civil engineering, and a lot of focus on water and water resources, things like that. And I'm thrilled for an opportunity to help out if I can and meet people.
Great. And last but not least, our council member on the board, Andrea, do you want to do an introduction yourself?
Sure. I'm Andrea Blum, and this is my ninth year on the city council. And it's always more gratifying to be able to work with people on things that are prepared for, built, and then utilized. It's so much easier fulfilling to see projects in theory, and then in development, and then on the ground. And so this has always been very much my bailiwick. And so I enjoy having the opportunity to have citizens in the community that have much more training and background in these kinds of issues than I believe almost anybody on the city council has, be able to review these projects and evaluate them and come up with ideas and see any red flags that might come up that wouldn't necessarily be red flags for the city council. So having this medium step in between a proposal and an approval where some citizens can look at projects has been working great so far. And I think we've got a great group here that can really look at things and see a vision of stuff that maybe we wouldn't see on the city council. So we very much want and expect your candid opinions about what's being proposed. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate it. And welcome to the board. Item number three, approval of the minutes. We're going to break it up into two sections. The first one is the September 12th regular meeting. Is there any clarifications or changes that need to be made to that? Do I have a motion to approve it?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second that.
Great. So Dane's in favor?
Aye.
It's approved. Number B on the approval minutes of the December 12th regular meeting. Are there any changes or corrections that need to be made to it?
No, great. Make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Same. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Item number four is visitor communications. Jackson, is there someone that wants to?
Yes, we have David here for visitor communication.
Yeah. I'm David Proviance. I live on Trinity Way, five houses down from McKinney Butte Road. And I'm here to speak about McKinney Butte Road. I've had email correspondence with Paul, Kurt Scholl, and the Deschutes County Sheriff's Department. My wife and I are that concerned about McKinney Butte Road. I would say most people would tell you that Cascade Avenue is probably the most dangerous street for pedestrian crossings, but I would say McKinney Butte Road is a very close second. And with the opening of the elementary school next fall, it could easily be the most dangerous road for pedestrian crossings unless something is done about the crossings. And I'm really pleased to have read the report. Now, I have to tell you that I did not read the report until just a couple of days ago because I'm apparently not on the communications list. I would like to be. And so I came here, or I prepared for this talk, thinking I was going to have to convince this august body of the need to do exactly what you apparently are planning to do. I ride my bike across McKinney Butte Road almost every day. Well, not today. Or I walk along McKinney Butte Road. And so I observe the traffic patterns. I see high school students eager to get home when school lets out with a little bit of a heavy foot. I've seen elderly people not like myself, I'm a good driver, but elderly people who are just driving distracted and not paying attention. I suppose the precipitating event for my wife and I and our concern for the children is that one time she was riding her bike and she watched two young girls, probably middle school girls, try to cross that borrow pit that has the big rocks in it. And then to cross McKinney Butte Road. And they kind of stood with some trepidation at the edge of the road, walking their bikes. One car stopped for them, and they were about to go across the road when the car coming from the opposite direction did not stop, barreled right through. And fortunately, the girls were smart enough to not assume that everybody was going to stop for them. But that began our little family crusade to see what the city would do about it. Now, I made this rough diagram before I realized that you have already have plans, but I'm going to refer to it because I have a couple of questions. I realize that you people up here can see it, but you can refer to the diagram that the committee provided. I have one concern, and maybe it's been addressed. In the McKinsey Meadows subdivision, there's 200 homes there. There's many other homes and apartments that have also been put in on the, would that be the north side of McKinney Butte. There are going to be, there already are a lot of kids who cross going to the middle school. There's going to be many more with the elementary school. Now, there are two places of egress where kids would come out of the subdivision, and those are, I guess, what you call multi-use paths. They come out of Meadow Lane Street and North Willett Street and go between the houses, and then where they hit McKinney Butte Road, there's just that borrow pit right there. Now, this is where kids, I think kids are going to come out and try to cross the street, because kids being kids, they're going to look for the shortest distance to get to school and immediately cross the street from these two egress points. Multi-use paths is that huge playing field where there's soccer and lacrosse. It's just natural for the kids to want to go across the street right there and then across the field to the middle school and down to the elementary school. I couldn't tell by the plan if there is, if you are intending to put a crosswalk there that would access these two multi-use paths. I don't know if there's anybody who can answer that question.
There is. I think if you hang for the meeting, we'll address that.
Okay.
But a question for you on that, your map there with those two points that they cross, where's the entrance into the school? Is it an open field? I don't, is there a fence there?
No, there is no fence. Okay. It's an open field, and they use it for soccer. They use it for lacrosse, and it's a direct shot into the middle school. And I've watched kids. It's just the quickest way for them to go back and forth to their houses if they're in McKinsey Meadows.
Great.
Second question I have then is, you have a plan, and it's a darn good plan. I am really pleased to see it. It's everything that my wife and I had hoped would be put in there. I did not see any kind of a crossing light. I don't know if that's in the plan or not. I think that would be a good idea to have one of those lights that blinks yellow. It's not a stoplight exactly, but it's a kind of a warning for traffic. I wonder if there's one of those. And then my final question is there funding for this? Is that something that's not, that's beyond this committee and the city council would have to decide? Whose decision is that?
It's generally Paul's would address the funding issue on that. Andrea, do you know if there is a dollar set aside for this project? You're on mute.
I don't think this project was specifically put in the budget because I think they've come up with most of the changes and recommendations recently. So I don't see that this is going to be a huge funding issue. I don't, but they're, like I said, it hasn't been specifically delineated in the budget as far as I know, but we will go into budget planning very soon. And so it will be up to Paul to make sure that that is budgeted for.
Okay, then let me just end with this to you, Andrea, because you're a city council member, that I don't think there's anything more important that the city could address than making sure our children are safe. And if it comes down to it, and it's a question of chip sealing a few streets next summer, fixing a few potholes, I think it's more important to ensure the safety of our children than the safety of our car tires. I would just put that out for your consideration.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you, I'm sure nobody on the council would disagree with you there.
But
and I know Paul is very resourceful, so mm-hmm. I'm sure we can look at that. So hang out for the rest of the meeting, and you can see what the proposal we put together in on that, okay? Great. Is there any more visitor communications?
No.
Okay, great. Let's go to the board business. And we've got
Eric Huffman.
Eric Huffman is going to talk about our McKinney Butte Road Safety Improvements Project. So do you want to let us know who you are, what's your role in this position, so we get an understanding of what your influence is?
Yeah, my name is Eric Huffman. I'm the city engineer. I'm sitting in for Paul this week. He's out of town. I've been the city engineer for 12 years or so, and I'm the one working on these drawings. So I can go through to the specifics of each of these.
Before we begin, Eric, could you please remove your cell phone from the table? I think that's what's causing some of the feedback.
Oh, really? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so starting on the west end, what we've, maybe if we can maybe scroll to the next one, what we've got is in place of existing crosswalks is, and we don't always want to do these because of emergency services going over them, but we've proposed speed tables. These are 4 inches in height, so they're not terribly dangerous for someone to hit, but they are certainly something that somebody would feel as they go over it. They're about 8 feet on the ramps and then 10 feet for the crosswalk itself, plus a little bit of repairing some asphalt on either end to make sure that thing is, that is stable and doesn't have a big lip on it. We are showing this particular one being at the west end near the Sisters High School parking lot entrance, shifting it over from the existing crosswalk a little bit. And that's to keep vehicles from being on the speed table while making a turning movement at the same time. These would be striped with thermoplastic, not just paint, so that it's heavy duty striping material. They would be signed. We have not proposed to put any flashing lights in. That would be another item that could be added. It would require some electrical connection or some solar hookups for that. But at this time, they'd just be signed and striped with thermoplastic, 4 inches in height. This first one being just adjacent to the elementary school access and the parking lot to the high school access. And then
you want us to ask questions now or should
go ahead. Yeah.
So I have a question about so you're gonna eliminate the other crosswalk?
That yes. Yeah. We want to direct everybody to this one.
Okay. So you'll pull out ramps, and then if you pull a crosswalk away from the corner, do you have to put some type of barrier to people crossing at what originally was the crosswalk?
Every crosswalk is every street intersection is a crosswalk, whether marked or not. So in this case, our interpretation is that crosswalk is the same thing. It's just shifted over that amount of feet, approximately 25 feet. And we could move it a little bit closer too, just to make sure that we don't want people bypassing it and trying to just walk outside of the crosswalk.
That's what I'm wondering.
Crosswalk.
Whether it's how you make sure people like turn the corner and then go across.
You know, maybe one way to assist in that would be to simply shift it. Maybe we could shift it another 10, 12 feet southwest. I don't know that it needs.
I understand your issue with the automobiles.
Making turning movements while on this table.
We destroy it.
Right, right. So we want to find that happy medium place where we're not disrupting turning movements, but still making it the attractive crossing for people that are going into that crosswalk, because we don't want them, obviously, like you said, to be using a crosswalk that we don't intend them to use. We will remove that concrete and asphalt on either side so that it's not, so it won't appear as a crosswalk. On the southeast side there, there's curb. So in that case, that would be somewhat of a deterrent from somebody to.
Is there a way to, I know this is silly, but to change the path that comes from the high school to focus it into that specific section? So the section up there by the right, loop it over so that you sort of lead them to water, you know, on that one.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't think there's anything in the way up there.
I think if there's anything, it'll be a tree, but it, I mean, it's almost like you put a bunch of rocks on the corner.
Right.
And make the path go the other way.
Right, right.
And do the same on the elementary school so that you make sure you're gearing people over to those spots. Because I think that's where you'll probably agree with me, is that's where it's going to be the most active intersection, is the crossings right there.
Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure they use that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We could certainly do that. What do you think about shifting it to the southwest a few feet, or do you think that's necessary?
I think if you make the path to it, they will go to it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm sort of thinking the likelihood, and especially for elementary school kids who are going to be walking a lot with, you know, their parents or older siblings, they're going to use the sidewalk, but they're going to like cut the path anyway. So the part interior of the sidewalk along McKinney Butte, I think you would see sort of that like desire line form anyway. So to formalize it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks.
Yeah. I think I would leave it up to your discretion on like moving the crossing itself more to the southwest, because I do like that it's a little bit protected from that turning, so that because it's also like it's a bunch of high school students, right? Like mm-hmm. I remember what I was like in high school. You know, I think I know everything, but I'm not paying attention, and it gives you just a little bit more space to react.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think how you tear out those existing ramps will be important.
Right.
What you replace it with.
Sure.
And then you mentioned about maybe adding an RRFB to this.
We have not.
Rectangular rapid flashing beacon.
Right. We have not. We have not put any design work into a system like that. So certainly could. But
they're spendy.
It's yeah. Right.
About $50,000
to
add to the project.
Right.
For each one. And I will just say from my experience, putting them at school zones can be really tricky, because you push the button and the lights start flashing and kids cross, and then, you know, kid cross, and then the next one comes along and pushes. And so then the cars can never get through.
Right.
And so it becomes a really tricky thing at a school. There, I don't know, my experience was I almost were better away from that environment. You almost need one at a school that was like, you can push the button, but it won't necessarily automatically go off. But then
right.
That's more money.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know, they have, you know, a couple in Bend, and sometimes I think on those that they go for long enough that somebody's already crossed and it's not, and it's still blinking. And at that point it starts to have like people maybe don't react to it as much as they would if they see it and it's going off and nobody's in it, because it's going off for 30 seconds or something like that.
But what's the speed limit? Is it 20?
Is it
during school, right?
25 with a 20 mile per hour driver feedback signs during school. It'd be what? School start, school lunch, and school end.
Is there an opportunity here to adjust McKinney permanently to 20? Because that's allowed now.
That's most of the town is 20.
Yeah.
That would be another one, just to slow everything down on that. I think the table idea is going to slow people down eventually. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, get the sheriff out there and with the speed guns.
Your speed is signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one thing about the tables, we need to run this by fire district to make sure that they don't have any objection to it.
Yeah, they might.
They can go down McKenzie Pass.
In your consultation with the schools, because Paul had mentioned that you worked with the schools on this. So right now at the elementary school, there's a flagger who's managing school drop-off and school pickup for crossing East Cascade. Mm-hmm. Do we know, are there plans for that? So will this intersection or another one be posted, flagged, like have a person there that's
right
gonna help?
I didn't ask the school if they continue to, or intend to continue to do that. I imagine they would, mm-hmm. but I haven't talked to them about flaggers.
Yeah, because that's going to help that mm-hmm. help address the issue and also do some of that crowd control.
Right, right. Well, I can show you the other two. Next one being at the, this is the, what's the service entrance there behind the football stands.
Yes, I believe that's staff entrances to the high school and future elementary school.
Okay, yeah. And similar situation here on the south. Well, actually in this situation, we don't have a walk leading to the crossing parallel or with the crossing itself. This is just on the sidewalk. But in this case, we would definitely remove any indication of the old curb ramps there on the side.
So the connection on the bottom there doesn't have a ramp?
It does. It's just it's lightly colored, but we connect to existing walk, and what we're showing it is an asphalt on that part of it, although we certainly could make that a concrete leading to the crosswalk.
Won't you have to make it ADA?
Yeah, so it'll go up. I'm assuming we have some grades on there, but so the walk that's there today will rise that 4 inches to get to the table, edge of the table elevation. So it'll be a ramp in the upward direction.
Oh, so you might have some tricky design work there.
Yeah.
The grades and drainage and all of that.
Yeah, I'll have to make sure that drainage doesn't then go outside the right of way. So, yeah.
So what's the distance from the one we first looked at in this one?
So that distance is
there.
I'm just ballparking. I think it's around 250 feet.
Okay. Which is sort of going to keep people from going pretty fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be the same setup?
Yeah. Same
table.
Same exact table. Same signage, same striping, thermoplastic markings. You see those arrows on the ramps to indicate to people that clearly it's a raised crossing. And then the third one is down and around the corner. This is probably maybe another 300 feet down the road. And this is in a location very close to there's mention of that path that goes through McKenzie Meadow Village subdivision. That is shown right there at the upper right. That's where that comes out.
There are two paths.
Right, so this is the westerly path coming out of McKenzie Meadow Village. The idea was to pick the westerly path because that's the direction that people are going. If you put it on the easterly path, the people that come out the westerly path aren't going to walk back to the east to go across. And So that's how we arrived at that. It's not exactly in front of the path that shifted over a little bit. And that was to align it with some of the existing infrastructure. Also makes it a good, people would have the ability if they do walk on that. That's the service road, I think, right there. It comes off to the south, just to the west of the crossing. And we located it so it's fairly close to that, assuming people might walk that direction going to the elementary school.
Could you pull up the first page, the one with the map on it?
I can pull up a whole
one moment. Oh, yeah, I got the whole thing there.
So this is the one we are looking at right now.
And so is that path the short one to the right of it? Is that the walking path right there?
Yeah. Oh, so to the north, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the walking path that goes through it.
Yeah.
Where's the other one? Is it further?
I believe that's this right here.
Oh, no, yeah, we are in the east one. And I don't... Yeah, we should look at, I would think we should look at that west one. We've been talking about this east one then, and that's the one we've been planning on.
Could it have been to connect that path with this?
That path. Yeah.
Oh,
and
so
connectivity.
And that's a really nice idea because that path gets you to the middle school directly. The elementary school is going to be on the far side of the track. So people walking to the elementary school, they'd come out and I guess they would have either raised option or they could cross at Reed Street because that is that also a there are crosswalks there?
There are no crosswalks.
There are no crosswalks there. Okay.
So was there thought to what was the thought for the one in the middle about why it's located where it is?
That was a suggestion, first suggested by the school district. They said there's a lot of kids across at that crosswalk there. And
then they cut across the parking lot, like yeah, yeah. To the high school there.
That's the path yeah. I would have taken.
Yeah.
And this path here does get a lot of use, so I can see why this would be connected here.
Yeah.
That's problematic with that street to the north that doesn't have a... I mean, by law, it's a crosswalk.
Right, right. So, like you said, we could close the crosswalk, or we can. The idea is to try to discourage by not improving any ramps to the edge of the road right there.
Can you put up that sign, walk? You know that one sign they put at the corner says "Walk this way for." Across the street, something like
you
can, that.
I think you have to actually put like a barricade up too.
Yeah,
it's usually a sign like this, so you have to put a barricade up on it too. The big rocks underneath it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example. I have to say, there's so often people don't follow the directions, anyways.
There's one in well, they just got taken out, but there was one in Bend at that.
The river house.
River house, yeah.
Yes, and everybody would cross anyways.
Well, now they've made it into it. They've actually added pedestrian push button signals and the whole thing and put a ramp there. But if we went, we could go to everyone in each corner and add and formally close them. And it's just the what's the amount of scope is appropriate. So,
yeah, I mean, you could put a crosswalk at each street. On that,
right?
Would it be a driving disaster because you'd be up on tables every 100 feet?
Right.
But I mean, the thought is also that it's a school street. It's you're not gonna be you want to go speed, go on Cascade, so they can really clog at good speed. I don't know.
So those are the three tables proposed, and then beyond that. we have some additional improvements proposed. The next one, this is at, so right now there's a mid-block crossing that is between Village of Cold Springs and McKenzie Meadow Village that must have been put in with Village of Cold Springs, I think. But that mid-block crossing, it's not a long distance from Fremont to McKinney Ranch Road. I don't know why that, walked this, and we had Joe Bestman, who works as a traffic engineering consultant for the city as well. He, the idea here is to remove the mid-block crossing between Fremont and McKinney Ranch Road and put a better marked striped crossing at Fremont Street, where there is none today.
And that would be more of a marked, not a tabled one.
Right. This, and the thought there being that this is not, we're outside of the school zone now. So. So that involves just construction of ADA curb ramps and striping improvements, as well as the removal of the existing infrastructure down the street. So this is not not a real costly improvement here. Want to go to the next one? Go to, this is at Trinity Way. And the thought here, we're looking at Trinity Way, thinking, well, should it be on the west side of the street or on the east side of the intersection if we're going to put one in? So there's, on Trinity Way to the north, there's a path on the west side and there's a path on the east side of the road, both sides. But on Trinity Way to the south, today there's only a sidewalk on the east side. So the thought here is to connect that sidewalk on the east side of Trinity Way with the sidewalk to the north, continuing on the east side of Trinity Way. This is also a more straightforward ADA curb ramps on each side, continental crosswalk striping, and that's the limit. That's the scope of the improvement at this intersection.
I'd suggest you check on if you're redoing to make ADA ramps on each side. You may trigger having to do the ramp the other way too.
You're talking about the ones facing to the west? Right. I have a feeling we'll probably end up having to replace the both ramps.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
The city might even get it triggered anyway.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. That one on the south side is going to be a little tricky to get that ADA wise. So, as well, turn those truncated domes so that they are the detectable warning panels so that they are facing directly north and south. And there will be a little bit of detail in there to get that ironed out. So the next one, which is an intersection we've been looking at for quite some time and how to deal with this.
That's the one you get hit at when you're walking across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, we've actually got some other things, other line work we've been playing around with here. What's one thing that's kind of tough about this intersection is the northwest corner is private property. And that private property goes out into the pavement of the road. So that private property, though, is owned by Village Meadows Homeowners Association, which I believe has dissolved itself. It does not exist. And so I'm assuming that since no taxes have been paid on it for a while, that it will eventually go back to the county. But somehow we need to get the right to be able to construct some improvement there at that corner and go onto that property. in order to make a functional curb ramp and crossing at that corner.
Because there's no sidewalk on the other side, right?
There's the sidewalk on the south side of McKinney Butte.
No, on the Brooks Camp there.
There is, oh, right, on the east side there's none. Yeah.
So we sort of need to force everybody over to the other side to do that. Or pave Brooks Camp.
Yeah, we've...
just kidding on that, by the way.
We've put in for grants, at least on two different occasions on Brooks Camp. You may have seen those, and we did not get selected for those. There was a chance that ODOT was going to put some funding in as part of putting in the roundabout at the end of McKinney Butte, and they decided against it at the end. So we're getting close a couple times to getting continuous walk on Brooks Camp, but we haven't got it yet.
So the proposal on this intersection is to go on this side of it.
Yeah.
And then have to work with the easement on the other side to get access to it.
Right, right. So somehow we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get access onto that property.
And that's a four-way stop too, correct?
It is, yeah. Yep.
There's terrible visibility.
Yeah, it's a tough angle. So that's
That needs
once we figure out how we can who we can talk to about getting this. Maybe we talk to the county about it. Or if they're going to foreclose on it and take it at some point, or how that's going to work.
Well, who shows as the owner right now? It still shows as being owned by a defunct HOA.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy it.
Well, I don't know how they signed
it. But who can you buy it from?
Yeah.
My legacy is to give it to the city for a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So so that one is a brain teaser on that corner. And then the final corner is right here at Arrow Leaf. We've got, on the north side, we've got infrastructure coming both ways. On the south side, we've got an asphalt path. I know there's been.
So that's the intersection at.
That's Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen?
Yeah.
And Ray's, Access right, to Ray's.
Yeah. Okay. And there's no crosswalk there right now, is there? Mm-mm.
Was this a barrier removal request?
No, not that I know of.
That was separate.
I know I've observed people trying to get across here. So.
It's rough.
It's not easy for cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this up here might be where an RRFB might be an idea.
Right. Coming right off the roundabouts. The roundabout improvements stop just on the other side of this intersection. So it's transitional type of area.
Yeah, that would be a launch pad for people.
Yeah.
As they scream through there. Then it gets pickup trucks.
Yeah, I suggested when that was all done that some of those be right in, right out, and not allowing people to directly cross over. And people were not happy. They said, we need to be able to cross over there. And I go, well, we'll see how many bodies we get doing that.
And then people do crazy things with the U-turns and stuff.
Yep. I mean, it's Sisters. You know, a lot of people go, oh, it's not a big deal. It's Sisters. Well, it's getting to be a bigger deal.
And Eric, do we have the next crosswalk down? Is that part of the state ODOT crosswalk, the one that goes into the roundabout?
That was, constructed by the state. As far as jurisdiction goes, I don't believe that it's been turned over to the city as a city asset. I believe it's still ODOT would repair or maintain that if there was something that needed to be done with that?
No, they need to paint it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can't see the lines on it anymore. It's just
worn off.
Washed out. Yeah, brown.
Okay.
So what feed, so we gave you feedback on it. What else do you need to know from us, or what are our next steps on this?
Next steps are finish design work, get a package prepared for bidding. And yeah, if everybody is if with your approval and city council's approval, then we'd I don't know the timing on this, but we'd get this out for bid.
What's the rough order of magnitude for the project like this?
As far as costs, I haven't developed a cost estimate yet, but I would anticipate that each of these raised crossings is, you know, somewhere on the order of, they could be $20,000 with the amount of concrete.
And then all your ADA ramps on those can
those would be $5,000 a piece. So we could be 25 or even 30. I guess we'll have to look at what the bidding numbers are lately, but yeah.
Okay. We're not holding your feet to it. We got burned on another project.
Okay.
We question those dollars all the time.
Yeah. Right. Right. Especially now.
Contingency.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Paint just went through the roof.
Yeah, right. Well, those thermoplastic markings are very expensive too. And
yeah. Do you know how long those thermoplastic markings are intended to last?
They have to be intended to last at least 10 years. And it depends on the level of traffic on them, but I think you can count on them to last for 10 years. And a lot of times a lot longer than that. They lay it on like a piece of, they lay the plastic on the ground and then they torch it and it melts it onto the pavement.
Okay.
Cool. Are the tables that they'll work for plowing?
Yeah, we've developed a plan, working right with Paul on what he thinks is acceptable. No issues been raised regarding plowing. So
part of the reason they're moved away from the intersection, so you hit them more head on and not at an angle.
So that one before this was very rough, just like a line drawn across the road. So is that part of this package too, figuring all that out?
It is, and there has been some more design work than this. But although this design is going to have to encroach into that property. And we need to find out for sure that we can do that. Because if we don't, if we can't go into that property, the other alternative would be to reduce that radius at that corner, bring it all the way out into the right of way, which in that case, we'd be squeezing the road. So
this just seems like a bigger design project. I mean, I wonder, should that be it's important, but should it be a second phase or something?
Seems right.
The other ones are more straightforward.
Yeah, you're right. Because in this one, we don't know if we can. We got to maybe the city's attorney or somebody, we can talk with them about what happens to the title of that property.
Well, purchasing right away alone is a process.
Right, right. But if we can get somebody to just sign us an easement, we've done that on some things and use it as a public access easement. And just go with that.
Wow.
We're much nicer.
I guess.
But again, who would even sign that?
Right.
So.
But now defunct.
Seems like there's time and complexity to this intersection versus.
And it's already got a four-way stop at it too. So there's sort of something to keep people from blazing through it.
Right. And if we really tighten down that radius on that northwest corner, then the folks that are coming south on Brooks Camp that want to turn right onto McKinney Butte, that'd be a hard one to make that corner because it'd be more than 90 degrees.
Yeah, you have to think about school buses and delivery trucks.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got our city standard for radius on the curve, so.
Are there any more questions?
I just wanted to say, I really like the approach of the three raised tables. I think they're in a good place to like make improvements for the elementary school to open in the fall and sort of see how it goes. Because you could, like, I can see like, oh, if there's determined, like, oh, I think we need another one in the future based on, you know, based on how people are actually moving to the schools, you can sort of see where like there's opportunity. But I think starting with these three, like those are the places that people are going.
Yep. And it's also going to change habits because it's a new school. They know what the road is. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a good time to do it to pick up, change habits on that.
No, elementary kids are trainable too.
There's hope for them, huh?
Well, good. Thank you very much, Eric. We appreciate you coming in and presenting to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Any other business on the board?
I would just like to say that we lost Dane and John.
So we still have quorum, though, three, right? So mm-hmm. We're good. Okay, good. If there's nothing else or any board member comments, Andrea, anything from you?
No, I just want to assure you that if Paul sees that the difficulty in gaining access on certain portions of the project are a problem, that he will say, let's parcel this out and let's go ahead with what needs to be done, and we'll deal with that later. As we know from other projects, if the funding isn't there, or if the part of the project isn't there, it doesn't necessarily stop the whole project.
Great. Thank you, Andrew. With that, I will adjourn the meeting.
Nice.